Are you prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless. As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balanced chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663, or thepowerherbs.com.
Welcome to Herb Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day here on Herb Talk. It's all about empowerment. Thanks for joining us here on the American Voice Radio Network, WWCR, and other networks. Magical Engineer Frank is ready. I'm ready. We got a great show. First part of the show, we're going to be talking about when food becomes vaccines. So we're going to talk about these new vehicles that they're tinkering with, and we have a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and Semper Fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. Hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face, mind the time, it grows short. And I'm in Romans 10 where it says that if you confess with your mouth that the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in your heart that God had raised him from the dead, well, thou shalt be saved. Yeah, but it's got to be heartfelt. It's got to be sincere. And when you do that, you're automatically confessing you're a sinner and you're going to repent. That is the condition to live for all of eternity in peace and harmony with God. If you don't have that, you got the other stuff. the other end of the spectrum, total darkness and torment. So I would go with the Father God if I were you. Seek the Lord's face, mind and time, it grows short. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, first up in the quacker, Tennessee passes a vaccine lettuce bill, declaring any food containing a vaccine to be a drug. Here, we're going to talk more about this in the first part of the show, but this is a report from Tennessee Senate. They have some legislation. It has to be signed by their governor, Bill Lee, but typically he does sign what comes across his desk. So the bill says that any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material will be classified as a drug in the state of Tennessee. The legislation defines vaccine material as any substance intended to stimulate the production of antibodies and provide immunity against disease. I'm thinking there, Frank, they should have put there, or any vehicle called a vaccine that doesn't stimulate antibodies and provide immunity. That's what I think they missed out there. So we're going to get more into that sticky business in the first part of the show, and moving along in the quacker, last but not least, Washington governor commits energy suicide with new plan to outlaw natural gas. You probably heard about this, Frank. Governor Jay Inslee signed this legislation bill effectively outlawing the use of natural gas in this state. Did you read about this? He says, yes. What about genetic manipulation, gene therapy, and food? We're going to get into that, Frank. You're getting ahead of me here. I'm talking about Washington right now. They're saying Inslee, who's a Democrat, said that the bill would help the state reach net zero emissions by 2050. He signed in his bill signing event. But those that are opposed to the bill were quick to point out just how bad it is. Senator Chris Gildon, he's a Republican, he said that the law would end up costing homeowners, renters, businesses billions of dollars. He said how the bill will lay the groundwork for a natural gas ban, and as the government said during the bill signing, it gets Puget Sound Energy out of the natural gas business. So it's going to be horrendously expensive, he said. It's going to be a direct hit on consumers. And it accomplishes next to nothing. I'm afraid it's only a matter of time before this bad idea is exported to other areas of our state. Unbelievable. So put your hands up and pray, because people are just, I don't know. Let's pray. Father God, help America. We are in need of thy help. And that wraps the quack report. Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to be talking about when food becomes vaccines. Because most people are pretty aware of certain foods being genetically modified. So the public is told, you know, it helps to prevent crop loss, gives higher yields on the crop, it reduces the need for chemicals, you know, on those produce crops that, you know, pests love to eat. So what most people, though, are not aware of is there's work being done, especially at the University of California, Riverside. They're infusing vaccine material into your produce. So the state of Tennessee is taking this seriously, and they passed this bill, HB0032, and it says it's called the Food and Food Products Bill. It was introduced, and it prohibits the manufacture, sale, or delivery, holding, or offering of a sale of any food that contains a vaccine or vaccine material unless the food labeling contains a conspicuous notification of the presence of a vaccine or vaccine material in the food. Well, at least that'll, you know, notify consumers that head of lettuce they're holding is a vaccine. So according to Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, the research to include vaccines in your food chain has been ongoing for several years. Here's a quote from their report. They said, University of California, Riverside is conducting research that incorporates mRNA vaccines into your edible plants such as lettuce. Now let's talk about the research a little bit, because the state of Tennessee actually nicknamed their House Bill vaccine lettuce. So if you are going to change produce into a drug, you may be asking, well, why start with lettuce? Well, typically, lettuce is a common vegetable and inexpensive, and it's used by fast food chains, and it's also a food few people tend to be allergic to. About 85% of the lettuce sold in the United States is grown domestically, equaling about 18 tons, and it's worth about $1.3 billion. Individually, Americans eat about 25 pounds of lettuce a year, and vegetarians and meat lovers alike tend to eat lettuce. Here is a quote from the Genetic Engineering Report. They said, one of the challenges with this new plant-based mRNA technology is to keep the food cold to maintain the stability of the vaccine. Ah, yes, don't want it spoiling now, do we? So this research actually was paid for with a grant of $500,000 from the National Science Foundation in collaboration with the Carnegie Mellon University in Pennsylvania. Now, the project's goal was threefold. They wanted to make sure mRNA vaccines can be successfully delivered into the plant cells where it will replicate. Also to check the plant can produce enough mRNA to equal a traditional vaccine, and also determining the right dose for consumers. So according to one of the professors on the study at California Riverside University, they said Juan Guerrero, he said, ideally a single plant will produce enough mRNA to vaccinate a single person, a plant. It's interesting how they will calculate a vaccine dose per adult, child, and senior adult. What is it, one leaf of the lettuce, or is it the whole head? I don't know. With each meal, is it going to be involving lettuce that mimics a booster shot? That's a good question. So I imagine vegetarians are going to get more than one dose, and how will that affect them? They eat lettuce a lot. So how does this work? Well, Professor Guillardo and his nanotechnology engineer friend, Nicole Steinmetzer, they work together to make plants deliver their genetic vaccine using chloroplasts. So these are very small solar-powered factories inside the plant that produce sugar and other molecules to help the plant to grow. So they're hijacking the chloroplasts, and they're using these chloroplasts to express the mRNA genes because they are not a natural part of the plant. So they're kind of forcing the chloroplasts to work for them. So taking natural plant viruses, and they're tagging them as nanoparticles to be used in the gene expression and then to deliver the vaccine all over the plant is how they are creating essentially a vaccine treatment inside a food vehicle. That's what they're doing. So Professor Guillermo goes this way. He says, one of the reasons I started working in nanotechnology was so that I could apply it to plants and create new technology solutions, not just food, but for the high-value products, such as pharmaceuticals, end of quote. I would say Professor Guerrero is in on it for the money. Well, let's look at how the long-term goal of all this research. So according to the researchers, they are also testing spinach, and most likely would spread this technology to other food sources. Here is Guerrero again. He goes, we are testing this approach with spinach and lettuce and have long-term goals for people growing it in their own gardens and farmers to also eventually grow entire fields of it. Well, I have two words for anyone that likes to grow gardens of their own. Heirloom seeds. Stock up on them. Yeah. All right, let's look at the reason why they're doing this. Well, some of you may be kind of shaking your heads at this point regarding this in disbelief, right? Well, why would science look to food vehicles to distribute vaccines? Well, one reason is 40% of the United States population did not comply to get the pandemic vaccine. And as you are aware, governments want 95% compliance to qualify for what is referred to as the herd immunity. And why use that description, herd immunity? That word herd refers to a large group of animals, especially hoofed animals. It's more accurate and respectful to say population immunity. However, few people know that in all 50 states, the government definition used to describe the use of a prescription medicine is for, quote, man and other animals, end of quote, which suggests that the population is considered by government as a type of animal and not in the image of God. Okay, so the National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology said this in February 2023. They say, we found that race, ethnicity, religion, and political affiliation are highly associated with vaccine compliance. It is important to recognize vaccine hesitancy and conduct effective vaccine interventions regarding low vaccination compliance groups. Well, the amount of time and money and effort that authorities use to convince people that vaccines are good for their health is a continuous and expensive effort. Therefore, if the vaccine that the government wants you to have is in your food, well, they don't have to argue with you. They don't have to roll out a new campaign. They don't have to issue mandates because the vaccine is on the menu. However, edible vaccines will need to be popularized effectively and distributed worldwide in order for them to accomplish their population immunity goal. Here is a quote from University of California, Riverside. They say, the future of vaccines may look like a salad than getting a shot. Mm-hmm. They go on to say, I'm very excited. Oh, this is Guillermo. He says, I'm very excited about all of this research. I think it could have huge impacts on people's lives. I bet you it will. I think scientists, you know, should be careful what they wish for. It could have unexpected and negative consequences on people's lives. Yet this concept has been in the works for over a decade. And here is the real scope of this venture into edible vaccines. This is National Library of Medicine Center for Biotechnology. This is October 2013. They say edible vaccines are subunit vaccines where the selected genes are introduced into the plants and the transgenic plant is then induced to manufacture the encoded protein. Remember I told you there's protein switches in these vaccines and now they're sticking them in plants. So foods under such application include potato, banana, lettuce, corn, soybean, rice, and legumes. They go on to say they are easy to administer, easy to store, and readily acceptable delivery systems for different age group patients, yet cost-effective. They go on to say edible vaccines present exciting possibilities for significantly reducing various diseases such as measles, hepatitis B, cholera, diarrhea, etc. So your childhood vaccines are going to be in the food eventually. That's where they're pushing it. Now, according to this report, this is a 2020 report in the Brazilian Journal of Medical and Biological Research. They say additional sources science wants to use as a vaccine vehicle are tomatoes, tobacco, and algae, your single-cell plant algae, because it's cheaper to use compared to a plant. So the Brazilian Journal says edible vaccines are much safer and cheaper alternatives to traditional vaccines. I don't know about safer. I don't know, because I'm going to show you they haven't really done their homework. Here's some problems. The research on edible vaccines is really not without problems. Here's a list of them. Since in nature no one crop is identical to another, they may have a problem with dose consistency in their food delivery. Also, they still are really not sure on the stability of vaccines in all the foods that they want to put it into. And if the food is cooked like tomatoes, potatoes, rice, corn, legumes, it can weaken the vaccine. They don't like that. Also, people can spit it out or vomit it up and not get their dose. Also, edible vaccines may not be effective for infants. And interactions and side effects between the food and the vaccine is still unknown. inability to control the amount people ingest, producing toxic overdose or insufficient dose is a problem. Also, potential risk of spreading more disease by edible vaccine delivery is also a concern. Also, potential contamination or tampering of the food vehicle. Danger of contaminating of the oral delivery system. Hello, your mouth, your digestive tract. Also, lack of information what edible vaccines will do to the immune system, as food proteins can cause or initiate an allergic reaction or an autoimmune response. And the notion that genetically modified crops are bad for your health is something they got to train the public to think otherwise. Well, there have been some small on-site human tests done in third world countries. Yep. Research that was done by the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, as well as the University of Maryland. They tested some edible vaccines in third world areas that struggle with AIDS, hepatitis, and diarrhea. So they used some genetically modified potatoes, and these potatoes produced E. coli toxin that produces a diarrhea bacteria, and they reported no serious adverse reactions, such as disability, birth defects, or death. However, there were just 12 volunteers in the study, and one did have a reaction, but it was not stated what that reaction was. And there have been no large long-term studies reported on the effectiveness and safety of your edible vaccines. Yeah. So, you know, it's getting more difficult to even get healthy stuff to eat. And now this. So, you know, you want to prepare for safe alternatives. I know you've been hearing this a while, and you're probably tired of hearing it. And, you know, don't turn a deaf ear, because there's going to come a time. There is going to come a time, and I think it will be very soon. So this is the time to be proactive and prepare. Prepare for storable foods that have not been corrupted. Make sure you plan and store for some natural medicinal products as well. That old saying, there is no time like the present, comes to mind. So it's not an overstatement at this point that supplies will be more expensive and hard to find as time goes by. So I'm actually seeing some challenges in obtaining certain supplies and herbs more this year than ever before. And items with a long shelf life will be the best option. Yep. You know, stocking dehydrated milk and butter and some other staples, along with your herbal supplements, is really now becoming a necessity. So if you wait to see how the 2024 election goes before preparing, I think that's a mistake, because that old military expression, you're burning daylight, comes to mind. So if you have it and you don't need it, not a problem. But if you need it and you don't have it, well, that's a problem. Yes, Frank, what'd you say? Time to take up gardening, he says. Make hay while the sun shines. Exactly. There's a lot of people, you know, turning their basement areas into, you know, gardens, you know, with artificial light and stuff, you know, because then the bugs can't get to it and they don't have to put stuff on it, which I think is cool. So I think, you know, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Get their free product catalog. It's full of immune support, metabolic support, and toxin removal. 10-year shelf life on the liquids and 5-year shelf life on the powders. So it's got a good shelf life. Give them a call at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you're outside the U.S., dial 828-469-5972, 828-469-5972, or visit the Power Herbs, thepowerherbs.com. Coming up here tomorrow is going to be the last day on their 25% off sale. Use coupon code SUNDAY24 on orders of $65 or more. Restrictions do supply wise. Supplies last, so do take advantage of that if you're stocking up on allergy products or pandemic hits and things like that. They got some great formulas for things that you want to maybe have for pandemic purposes. Would you say, Frank, better invest in solar and battery storage if the garden is relying on electricity? This is true. Yeah. Or, you know, if you got a generator, but you got to have typically fuel to run it. So definitely start thinking about preparing. Remember, the good book says be able to stand fast and endure until the end, until the Lord comes. You know, so be patient. He's coming. We got to wait on the Lord, just like the wise virgins with the extra oil in their lamps. They had extra oil and they could wait. And the bridegroom came. They went into the marriage supper. The other five, you know, missed the boat. So let's not miss that boat. And Jesus is our ark. So he's going to come real soon. And I hope you're all prepared for that. It'll be wonderful to see him. If you are in to getting information about healthy alternatives that will help you, especially in trying times, then you might want to sign up for the newsletters on the powerherbs.com website. So you just go to the Power Herbs, click on books and newsletters, sign up there, but you have to have email because that's how they're delivered. So the American Survival and the Health Quest go out each week with empowering information. And if you want empowering information but you don't want a newsletter by email, then check out the blog on the website. Lots of nice categories posted there. There's herbal profiles, and so you can see, you know, let's say what milk thistle can do for you. There's research on some of the top health conditions and all kinds of stuff up there. So check it out. It's just called the blog. So when you get to the website, right across the top, it'll have home, about us, Wendy's bio. You'll see blog in there, and you can just click on that and let us know what you think. So far, the feedback has been really good. People are liking it. They're coming from other websites to see it. Pinterest for one, and I think Rumble. So people are liking all of that. Oh, by the way, if you want to find our radio show on Rumble, it's under the Empowering Apothecary, so you can check it out there. It's also on YouTube if it's not taken down, and we do archive the show on our website under Herb Talk if you want to check that out and listen anytime. Well, we got lots more to talk about. Like when we come back from our break, we're going to be talking about how we can prevent age-related falls. A lot of our elderly falling, even younger people that are on prescription meds are not real steady on their feet, I've noticed. So we're going to be talking about some of the things that can make us unsteady and how we can avoid falling and fracturing bones, breaking bones. And we're also going to be talking about, I think, some things about therapies within medicine, and what we can do to counter if we want a natural solution for that. So we got lots more to talk about when we come back from this break. Be right back.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com. Everyone is afraid of pain. No one wants pain to rule over their life, and you don't want the negative side effects of aspirin, ibuprofen, or prescription drugs. They can lower immunity and cause dependency. Is there a safe alternative? I'm herbalist Wendy Wilson, And I prefer willow bark and meadow sweet herbs to control pain, fever, aches, and inflammation. God's herbs are good, and you won't be disappointed. Call Apothecary Herbs for pain or extra strength pain relief formula, toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International, 704-875-8010, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
I don't trust anyone wearing a mask. Robbers, cattle rustlers, or doctors. I listen to Herb Talk Live.
Two million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order, 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. Oh, thank you, Frank. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Casey and the Sunshine Band there in the bumper. That was a little old one. Okay, we're going to talk about our elderly, if you have parents that you're looking after. This is going to be important. I get calls from people a lot about their ailing parents and stuff. So a lot of times, you know, our elderly are on a lot of medications. And so each year about 2 million elderly people fall and suffer an injury. Every 13 seconds, actually, an aging adult suffers a fall. And our hospital stays due to falls kind of double in length of the stay and increases the risk of premature death. You know, if you go to the hospital, you may get, you know, an infectious disease there, and that can really take out some of our frail elderly. About 10,000 die from a fall each year. Doctors often explain it's because as we age, we become less flexible and have poor balance. So we're to believe that a fall because we're old. You know, I grew up in a town and there was a lot of older people riding bikes in their 70s and 80s. And they seemed pretty limber and agile. So I think, you know, yeah, if we get sedentary, we can be stiff, less flexible. It will impact our balance and our reflex and mobility. But that's if we choose that. I just don't buy into this as we get older, it's expected. I think it's common, but I don't think it's normal. Frank says, if you fall all the time, I'm going to check you out there, Frank, and see what's going on with you. Hospital stays due to falls, double the increase of premature risk of death. So we're going to check this out. According to the statistics, more elderly females fall than males do. We're also told that the older the female gets, her risk of suffering a fall increases. So when this occurs, over half of the patients usually have a repeat fall within a six-month period. So the age group with the most falls is over the age of 65, and usually it's the fall that they list as the cause of death. They don't mention drug-induced, you know, inability to hold thy balance, and bam, you go down. So falls severely impact the mobility of the elderly, and you're less mobile. It means, you know, people feel that they're more vulnerable. They feel unstable, so they don't want to move as much. They're worried about falling. I had a family member that fell down at her house. You know, she's an empty nester, and
It was her medications that her doctors had her on. They were all messed up. It was the prescription drug, not the patient, that messed it up. So your medications can make you vulnerable to falls. Frank says it's especially for the older to learn how to fall, because then they fall without doing permanent injury. Well, maybe you can have a class in that. Put it up on the internet, Frank. Maybe, you know, some of the children that have elderly parents will see it and help educate their family member. So let's talk about the drugs that can promote falls. According to the Journal of the American Geriatric Society, there are several medications that can increase the risk of falls as we get older. For instance, reports suggest that if patients are on four or more medications, it will increase the risk of falling. So medications for depression and antipsychotic meds are at the top of the list. And when patients try to come off of these medications, there's a reduction in their risk of falling, so they're less falls. Also on the list are your blood pressure meds, drugs for hypotension, your low blood pressure. These can all can cause some dizziness. Other medications or over-the-counter drugs would be also doubling your chance to fall if you're taking them. So your high blood pressure meds, various cardiovascular drugs, your beta blockers, diuretics, antiarrhythmia meds, anti-seizure medication, antihistamines, insomnia meds, respiratory and bladder medications, and diabetic drugs are all on the list. Unbelievable. So why do medications promote falling? Well, according to the medical science, prescriptions and some over-the-counter meds can block brain chemical activity, the acetylcholine signal, and can cause unwanted effects such as blurred vision, increased heart rate, confusion, and even a sedation effect. So we have over 43 million Americans over the age of 65, according to the U.S. Census, and they project 87.7 million by the year 2050. So half of them, they say, take drugs for, let's say, bladder conditions, which affect the nervous system and can encourage falling. 20% of elderly Americans are taking antidepressants, and that figure jumps to 40% when they're on those. Also, Americans, if they're in the facility of a hospital and nursing home, you know, falls happen there all the time as well. So just because you're over there, you're not going to fall. Yeah, you're going to fall. Approximately 12% of the elderly can't sleep, so they take insomnia meds. About 18% are taking medications for respiratory conditions. And according to U.S. News, the most expensive drugs that the elderly are taking are for metabolic disorders like your heart medicines, drugs for nervous system, digestive disorders, respiratory meds, that kind of thing. Well, here's some good news. When elderly are more active and they take calcium and vitamin D supplements, it seems to improve their balance and their muscle function and reduces their risk of falls by at least 20%. So movement is a good thing. Keep moving. It helps you avoid falling down. It keeps you more flexible, improves your balance. Now, if you want to improve balance, there's a really great exercise routine by Miranda Esmond White. She's a Canadian former ballerina, and she does a wonderful little low-impact thing called, trying to think of it. I'll think of it in a minute, but she does a couple of DVDs on improving your balance. And so just Google Miranda Esmond White, and you can see her DVD sets up there. And if you want to improve balance, you can definitely do that. And it's low-key impact, so you don't have to worry about that. All right, so good prevention programs will help you avoid falling. And watching the medicines you're taking. So in our 40s, we start to show signs of aging. We may reduce our energy levels and our flexibility and our poor posture. Maybe our reflexes get a little slower, our muscles a little tighter, our connective tissues maybe not so great, and we may get some atrophy in our spine. So we start to become more sedentary as we age, and as the muscles become stiff, they shorten and tighten. So we find we can't lift our arms as high above our heads anymore. We shuffle more when we walk. We're unsteady on our feet. So we shouldn't have to degenerate in this way if we take precautions to prevent it. So even if we lose some of these functions, we can get them back and reduce the risk of falling. So there is a way to improve our range of motion without pain and put the spring back in our step, and it doesn't involve a lot of high-impact exercise. Oh, the name of the Miranda Esmond White DVD set is Classical Stretch. Classical Stretch. They may even audio stream that now, or video stream it, and you may be able to just pull it up on your phone. So a Classical Stretch, they're 20-minute little short exercise routines. It'll improve posture and your balance, beneficial even for younger people with foot, hip, back, shoulder, and neck problems. So athletes use this program as well. She actually, hockey players and stuff, and they're more flexible. So if you're in a car accident, if you notice that, you know, you got a little whiplash, you go to your chiropractor, even that classical stretch is going to help you, even if you're seeing a corrective therapy practitioner. So classical stretch will keep you moving and keep you upright. So don't forget the powerherbs.com. They have quite a few things there. They, you know, if you got a little bit of foggy brain or cognitive issues, you may want to check out their brain concentrate. They do have a lot of formulas there for energy and to strengthen the bones. They got a wonderful plant-based calcium liquid. So you've got some options there, and it's really going to be a great thing if you can get their free catalog and just kind of flip through it and see what you can do, be empowered. Their toll-free number is 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. If you shop online, thepowerherbs.com, definitely check that out. And don't forget their sale runs through tomorrow. Tomorrow's the last day, the 5th of April. So if you want 25% off, definitely take advantage. Details are online, or you can just call and ask for the discount. Now, if you're ordering through the mail, make sure you get your letter or your order form, you know, in the mail and postmarked by Friday so you can still get the sale. All right, we're going to talk about medicine a little bit because history is packed full of examples of the healing herbs. But nothing puts a stamp of approval on medicinal herbs better than the health during the time of Jesus Christ. It's well known the Romans and the Greeks were accustomed to using medicinal plants as it was the standard for that time. Actually, the Arabs, if you remember, we did a show on the history of medicine, and the Arabs were the ones that invented pharmacies, you know, and they were the ones that were dabbling in black magic and alchemy. Yeah, so the healing arts of the time focused on improving health by influencing the body fluids. That was the big deal then. So at the time of Jesus Christ, there wasn't really any IV drips, but there was various herbs which improved circulation and helped the organs to function. So we're going to take a look at that. So if we were teleported ourselves back onto the streets of the ancient world, we would encounter the common therapies of things like hydrotherapy, sweat tents, purging, and bloodletting. But today, modern medicine uses chemical forms of bloodletting to help control the blood pressure. So drugs to thin the blood are not as messy as making an incision and removing blood volume. Now, anticoagulants and diuretics are the drugs of choice to remove water from the blood to lower the blood pressure, but they come with side effects. Artificial fevers were also used by the ancients to purge toxins quickly from the body in sweat tents. They used hydrotherapy as well to accomplish this goal. And sea captains often used these therapies when crew members became ill, couldn't have the whole ship get sick, see. So several of the herbs used down through the centuries specifically influenced or moved blood fluids in the body and also mucus or phlegm and bile. So the ancients knew that fluids that become stagnant in the body can bring serious infection or sepsis and death. Sepsis is blood poisoning. So medicinal herbs that proved to be useful in the field of even battle, the Greeks and the Romans kind of mastered. So everywhere the Roman army went, they brought with them their physicians who would plant even herb gardens doing long sieges. So if they're going to take a town, they're going to be there maybe summer. And so they planted herb gardens, and they had things to treat the wounded with. So they can even often bring a supply of herbs with them, you know, hyssop, thyme, honey, various roots and seeds. So the wise men are said to have brought the child Jesus from some frankincense as a gift. So it was indeed a valuable item of the day. It was used as an antiseptic, and it was often used when someone came down with a cold or a cough. So frankincense was known for strengthening the body's ability. The herb was part of the ancient world's medicine chest, if you will. Another herb that the wise men brought Jesus was myrrh. Now, this herb has numerous medicinal properties and was often known for its antibacterial, antifungal, and anti-inflammatory and astringent effects. So the parents of Jesus most likely would have employed myrrh to help move body fluids, such as the circulation of the blood, and to strengthen the immune system. Now, garlic has always been an ancient medicinal, and it's a culinary herb as well. So trained physicians knew garlic could help expel parasites, reduce infections, either bacterial, fungal, or viral, also improve digestion, and it's a natural blood thinner. Aloe was another herb often applied as a medical treatment, you know, especially for burns. And aromatic spices were used, like cinnamon and mustard and cayenne. It's said that these herbs were often used in exchange for currency. Things like mint and rue were also on the list. So they were valuable. That's why they were in exchange for currency. And they're still valuable today. These herbs still produce those wonderful results, and we should note it and use them. So natural medicine has a long history, and in modern science, there has been a pull away from the benefit of herbs and a push towards synthetic chemicals designed to exceedingly be quite toxic. Now, in the 1600s, the documentation on your herbs was so sought after because Western and Eastern medicine relied so heavily on them. And before the synthetic chemicals were used to make the drugs with, the herbs were the medicinal standard ingredient of the day. So pharmaceutical companies pawed through the Egyptian Ebers Papyrus of 1500 BC, referencing over 700 herbs and their uses. Because remember, drug therapies got started using plants to make their drugs. Remember that? So this was an ancient world's plant medicine pharmacopoeia reference guide, and the pharmaceutical companies have looked all through this ancient text all the way up to the 4th century and digging even before Jesus Christ for stuff. The Greek, the Asian histories on plants, any text that survived the fire of the Library of Alexandria, they have gone through it. So archaeological dig sites, which uncover herbal information from the Bronze Age, are also inspected by drug companies. They love this stuff. Now, from there, science has actually dissected the medicinal plants in order to try to decode them and make them into patented synthetic drugs. And it's an option of science that the synthetics are, they say, we've been proved on God's herbs. That's how they look at it. Now, when science removes the organic side of herbal medicine, it can persuade people not to grow herbs for medicine and to take care of themselves with those. So today, pharmaceutical drugs contain anywhere from 0 to 25% natural ingredients in them, a majority falling in the 2% category of natural ingredients. Now, at one time, scientific medicine routinely used about 7,000 herb compounds to make their medications. But today, that number is a mere 120 isolated compounds. And it's kind of funny how the Australian government's Department of Health published a review on herbal therapies, which might be worthy of health insurance coverage. They concluded out of the 17 categories evaluated that there was no evidence of herb medicine effectiveness. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? They're still using some of these plants, but they're not effective. Why are they using it? All right, in Europe, the situation with herbal medicine overseas is a little different than what's here in the United States. The UK, Germany, other European countries, 13 of them, actually, herbal medicine, essential oils, teas are kind of sold alongside prescription pharmaceutical drugs. But to the Europeans, the herbal medicine is viewed as a preferred pure medicinal compound compared to the industrial produced drugs. Obviously, Europeans feel that the natural is better, but over there, you still need a prescription for a lot of that because they highly regulate the natural over there. So a definition of an herbalist, well, the most common definition of an herbalist is one who studies and uses herbs, and a more detailed list will describe a master herbalist, a person that is dedicated to the use of medicinal plants, someone skilled in harvesting, collecting, wildcrafting, and using medicinal plants, someone trained in the dispensing of herbal medicines, someone skilled in the therapeutic use of medicinal plants, and someone skilled in the preparation and manufacture of herbal medicines. So there's really no set standard for a description there. An herbalist can be any one of those. Training will vary from region to region, and some countries require state-funded universities to train herbalists, such as in the UK. Now, in Australia, there is what is known as the self-regulated status, where different educated standards of different associations for herbalists are there. In the UN, the WHO, the EU, are all entities working on directives to unify or globalize the standards of herbal medicine and herbalists. So with government intervention and taxation, that field of herbal medicine may not survive without a black market, because once government gets its hands on it, you know, all of a sudden, you can't do this, you can't do that. Nothing like that's going to be available anymore. So if you're interested in learning how to use medicinal plants, this would be an opportune moment, I think. If you're looking to become an herbalist yourself, I applaud you on that. One of the schools I like the most is the School of Natural Healing out in Springville, Utah. It's John Christopher's school. He founded it. He was a practitioner for 60 years. He had his own clinic, and then he opened a school when he retired so he can pass on what he learned. I mean, he went all over the world. He learned things from the Native American Indians. He learned from Europeans, Canadians, and all the natural things that were passed down generation to generation that actually worked. And then he tested them all in his clinic and used them for 60 years with people that needed help, and so they have a track record. And so he passed that on to his students, and his students now carry on. I'm one of the students, actually. So if you're interested in becoming a student of natural medicine, then I would go to that school. So you got different levels of programs there. You become, you know, pretty much a doctor mom, where you just want to help your family out, or you can be more of a practitioner if you want. So there's different levels and different classes. So you can check that out. I think they do online stuff now. When I went there, there wasn't any online, so... but anyway, things change. We got a few minutes, and I mean a few, so I'm going to really touch base on some fruits here. I want to talk about the apple, the forbidden fruit, as some people refer to it. The Bible tells us that the forbidden fruit grew on a tree, which God called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Many have speculated that this was a bright red apple. Archaeologists have uncovered evidence of apples in ancient civilizations during 6500 BC. Apples have been a favorite fruit in the ancient Greeks and Romans. Really, no one knows what tree it was in the Garden of Eden, what fruit it produced. But we'll find out when we see the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's talk about apple facts. This is the one fruit that seems to offer a lot of benefits, a cornucopia of benefits. Apples are from the rose family. You ever bite into an apple, a really organic, fresh apple, Frank, and it tastes and smells like a flower? Oh, it's so wonderful. So it's from the rose family, and they're somewhat like people in the fact that they resemble their parent. So different trees have different health levels and different differences. So when you cut into an apple, the more seeds you have, the healthier that tree was. So apples have five seed pockets So the number of seeds per pocket is going to demonstrate the health of the tree and maybe even the variety of the apples. So there are a lot of apples grown in the United States. Most widely grown is Red Delicious apple. But it's not the only apple native to North America. The native one is called the crab apple. So there are 7,500 varieties of apples grown all over the world. In the United States, about 2,500 varieties of apples are grown, but only 100 varieties are grown commercially. So apples are fat-free, cholesterol-free, sodium-free, and an average apple contains 80 calories and 5 grams of fiber. So to the U.S. economy, apples come in second to oranges. So if you let your apple sit at room temperature, it will ripen 10 times faster. So that old saying, an apple a day keeps the doctor away. Well, this saying comes from an old English adage, to eat an apple before going to bed will make the doctor beg for his bread. So, yeah, apples help the digestive tract, keep you all moving, healthy. What'd you say, Frank? One a day keeps the doctor away. Thank you, Frank. Well, and yeah, if you eat an apple every day, you know, you probably drop 10 pounds in a year if you're eating well. If you're eating junk, maybe not. Well, coming up, let's talk about some trivia. October is typically the National Apple Month. Apples are grown in all 50 states. However, only 36 states grow apples commercially. Most think New York is the apple mecca of the United States due to the nickname the Big Apple. However, Washington grows the most apples, accounting for 58% of the U.S. Next to New York at 11%, Michigan 8%, Pennsylvania 5%, California 4%, and Virginia 2%. Most apples are, you know, still picked by hand in the fall, and out of all these apples, one out of four is exported, with the first apple being exported from the United States in 1768. The largest apple grown to date weighed over 17 pounds, and that one apple would have provided enough fruit for 3.5 apple pies. And it makes 36 apples to make a gallon of apple cider, 42 pounds of apples to make 20 quarts of applesauce. And you may wonder why apples float. Well, they contain 25% air. And if you are a scientist that studies apples, you are called a pomologist. And if you plant an apple tree, you will have to wait 4 to 5 years for it to produce first fruits. So your apple tree may grow to over 40 feet and live over 100 years. George Washington's hobby was pruning his apple trees, and the American colonists called apples the winter banana. So the top apple producer of the world is China, the United States, Turkey, Poland, and Italy, in that order. China produces more apples than us. Well, I'm out of time on our apple trivia segment, but don't forget, sale is ending tomorrow for the 25% off of the Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Get to getting, as they say. The information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. Seek medical advice from a licensed medical physician if you dare before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Until next time, I wish you all to be well.